Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Over then to the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. Everyone today is looking for wisdom, but people seem to be looking in so many different places. There are those who would look to education for wisdom, and coming from a background of education, I can tell you it's not to be found in education. Someone has said that for every person who wants to teach, there are approximately 30 who don't want to learn. And I certainly found that to be true in many cases. Maybe some would look in philosophy for wisdom. Those intelligent men who have spent thousands of years searching for truth. And now they tell us there is no truth. It was the Roman writer Cicero who said, There is nothing so absurd, but some philosopher has said it. Wisdom is not to be found in philosophy. Others would turn to the media or turn to their television sets to look for wisdom. Someone has described television as chewing gum for the eyes. All of that effort, but nothing of value ever being taken into the mind. Even the great Robin Day said that television thrives on reason. And unreason thrives on television. It strikes at the emotions rather than the intellect. Others, of course, would turn to religion, religions of various kinds, and they would seek to find wisdom in religion. I was reading a report recently that said that Ireland today still has the highest rate of church attendance. But if wisdom is to be found in religion, well then why are there so many unhappy people in our society and in our land today. So where can we find wisdom? Where should we look for this wisdom? Well, I want to put it to you this evening that wisdom is looking for us. Wisdom is calling out to us this evening from God's Word. Could it be that we're so busy looking in all of the wrong places that we're deaf to the call of wisdom? The same was true 2,000 years ago on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Many multitudes of people had gathered together to go through various religious rituals. No doubt they were seeking after wisdom, seeking after the truth, the meaning of life. But you know, true wisdom was there. True wisdom was standing right there in their midst. Lord Jesus stood up on the last day of that feast, and he cried out, as we read in John 7 and verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We can marvel this evening at the simplicity of the call of Jesus, and yet, what divine wisdom. If you're thirsty, then come and drink. Come to the one who can satisfy that thirst. These verses that we read in Proverbs chapter 1 are a foreshadowing of this announcement of the Lord Jesus, the one whom Paul described in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24 as the wisdom of God. In Colossians 2 verse 3, it states that in him, that is Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus Christ is the very personification of wisdom. And so as we listen to the call of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1, it's the same call that Jesus sent out with such power and authority over there in John chapter 7. Well, you say that's okay. It could be heard 2,000 years ago as Jesus stood up and cried out in the marketplace. But where can we hear this call of wisdom today? Well, it's simple. Wherever Christ is preached, then true wisdom is presented to men and women and young people and boys and girls. Wherever God's word is preached, wherever the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is faithfully preached, well then wisdom calls out to you. You see, the Lord Jesus is in every page of this book. He's in every chapter of this book. He is the Word of God. He is the living Word. True wisdom, therefore, can only be found in Jesus Christ alone. As we begin to look at Proverbs 1, there are some who may raise the eyebrow and say, but hold on, wisdom here in Proverbs 1 is being referred to as she. So how can this be a foreshadowing of Jesus? But let's remember that the Lord Jesus spoke of himself as being the mother hen longing to gather her chicks. And in this book we find that the Lord Jesus is both the bridegroom and the tender bride to be won. So let's not be distracted by the pronoun that is used here. Let's focus our attention upon Jesus. Someone has said that when we lift God's word, let's make sure we never miss the man on the page. Let's not be tied up in detail that could so easily draw us away from the man. Let's look for Jesus on every page of Scripture. Jesus Christ speaks as wisdom. Jesus Christ calls out to us every time the gospel is preached. We want to look at this call of wisdom and divide it into five parts in order to understand what this call of wisdom really means to us today in the 21st century. First of all, we see in Proverbs 1 verses 20 and 21 the scope of this call, the scope of the call. You know, if you want to tell an individual, something personal. You'll maybe pick up the telephone and you'll speak to them one-to-one on the telephone. But if you want everyone to know, well, then you'll use a microphone or a megaphone to really blast it out. And this is what we have here. It's a megaphone call. God's word says that wisdom crieth out. It's not a secret call. When the Lord Jesus stood on the last day of this Feast of Tabernacles, he cried out to the people. Therefore, it's no surprise that we read in John 18 and verse 20 that Jesus said, I spake openly to the world. In secret have I said nothing. Oh, this evening we must recognize, if we're honest, that the call of wisdom, the call of the gospel has come to us. How many Sunday nights has it come to you, even in this place? How many gospel missions have you sat through and the call of wisdom has come to you as the call of the gospel has gone out? How many youth rallies, how many Sunday school classes have you sat under and the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the call of wisdom has gone out to you? It's been an open call. That's part of the scope of this call. But it's not only an open call, but it's an indiscriminate call. Proverbs 1 tells us that it's in the streets, it's in the marketplace, it's at the city gates. Well, surely there's a challenge to believers in the meeting this evening that the gospel must go out wherever people are. You know, I believe that in today's society we've become so accustomed to asking people to come in. Well, we just expect that if we put an advert in the paper, that people will come in under the sound of the gospel. But we are those who are to go out. We are those who are to go into the highways and the byways. And so where people are, the church must be today, seeking to confront them with the claims of the gospel, seeking to share the love of Jesus with them. We are to be those who go out with the gospel to ensure that it's an indiscriminate call that goes out to everyone and in every place. You see, this evening, it doesn't matter who you are. The call of the gospel goes out to you. It doesn't matter if you're upper class, middle class, working class. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter which ethnic group you belong to. It doesn't matter if you're British or Irish or Italian or Hungarian. It doesn't matter if you're Protestant. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Hindu, Buddhist, agnostic, or even atheist. The call of the gospel is indiscriminate. Wisdom calls to all. The gospel is for everyone. Jesus Christ is calling you. You see, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Spurgeon said that the ark was great and held all kinds of creatures. Our Christ is a great refuge who saves all kinds of sinners. The scope of the call, it's open, it's not hidden. It's declared in the marketplace, it's declared in the street, it's declared in the city gates. It's indiscriminate. It goes out to everyone. How the chorus that we used to sing with the boys and girls comes to mind. See means children, all may come. O means old folks, no more young. M means middle-aged mother and dad. E means everybody, good or bad. You're invited. I am invited. All are invited. Believe in Jesus and come. The scope of the call, it's open. It's indiscriminate. It's for you this evening. Secondly, we notice the searching of the call. We read there in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. The searchlight here is falling upon those who have so far rejected the call of wisdom. So far they're rejecting the call of the gospel, the call to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. And the question goes out to you this evening, if you're still rejecting, well, how long will you continue rejecting Jesus Christ as he's freely offered to you in the call of the gospel? If you're rejecting the gospel, well then tonight you're a fool. God's word describes here three types of fools, and I wonder which one of them applies to you. First of all, we see there in verse 22, the simple ones. How long will you love being simple? You who could be described as naive. You who live like there's no tomorrow. You who simply feed the passions and feed the lust of self. The here and now. Materialism, prosperity. How long will you go on pretending that there isn't a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? How long will you go on pretending that Jesus Christ has no claim upon your life? Oh, you listen to the devil's lies. You're so naive. You swallow every lie that he would seek to tell you in order to keep you rejecting the call of the gospel. Maybe he's telling you, you've got plenty of time, some other time, but not tonight. Maybe he would say to you, well, there's lots of people who are worse than you. You're not that bad. You make an appearance every now and again at church, Sunday morning and even the odd Sunday night. Others don't even bother with church nowadays. There's lots of people worse than you, and you swallow it when the devil would seek to salve your conscience in that way. Maybe he would say to you, how could a God of love send someone like you to hell? He just would never do it. Don't believe his word. Just go with your logic on this one. He would never send someone like you to hell. Maybe he says to you, it's too simple. It's too straightforward. There must be something more to it. It can't be enough to just turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. There must be something that you can add to it. There must be something that you can do that you could really feel proud of. And then you can go for it. And how the devil would seek to dupe us. You know, you may be naive, but you're a fool for rejecting the call of the gospel. How long will you go on rejecting the call of the gospel? The second type of fool is the mocker, the scorner. How long will you delight in mocking? Oh, maybe you wouldn't mock outwardly, but inwardly you're sitting there and you're thinking, this is a lot of nonsense. This guy can't be for real, telling me that I need to accept the offer of someone who lived 2,000 years ago, trying to tell me that there's something after death. We just live and then we die and that's it. And how inwardly you would mock at the call of the gospel. Maybe you say it's not scientific. Science has proved this and science has proved that. And maybe you prefer the ever-changing theories of scientific man, who either doesn't have the answer or doesn't believe there is an answer. Oh, but you say science does have the answer. Well, you ask them then. You ask them for the answer. What about asking them this? Ask them to give you a rough order in which the components of the eye might have evolved. Oh, we put so much faith in our science teachers and in the so-called intelligent people of today who believe in science. Well, ask them that. See what they come up with. Was it the cornea that evolved first? Was it the iris? Was it the pupil? Was it the lens? Was it the retina? Which part was it that evolved first? Well, I'd be interested in hearing their answer, because the eye is irreducible. If we don't have all of the parts together at the one time in working order, well, it's just a ball of soft tissue. It's absolutely useless. So how could one evolve before the other? You know, science has so much to answer for. And science would point the finger at Christians and say, oh, it's just faith that you're into. I tell you, the scientist who believes in evolution has massive, misplaced faith. And yet you would mock the gospel in favor of the scientific theories of man, while the wisdom of the gospel is staring you in the face. The third type of fool is simply referred to here as the fool, the hardened skeptic, the one who hates the truth. You know, it's possible that that describes someone in our meeting this evening. You're maybe here out of obligation to someone else, and inside you really detest this book. You can't stand this place and the truth of God's word that it stands for. As far as you're concerned, there is no God. Oh, you would never admit to it openly. You would say, well, I have a faith. You know, it's a kind of personal faith, but deep down, you don't believe there is a God. You're a fool. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The very truth of God that would set you free is the very truth that you go on rejecting. Tell me, how long will you go on rejecting the gospel? How long will you go on playing the fool? Shakespeare's Macbeth said, why should I play the Roman fool and die on mine own sword? And you think Shakespeare's a fool, Macbeth is a fool, but you're the fool who's falling on your own sword. You're falling on the sword of pride. You're falling on the sword of embarrassment. What would people say? You're falling on the sword of blindness. You prefer to just turn away and pretend that Jesus never existed. The searching of the call. Tell me this evening, if you're foolishly rejecting the call of the gospel, how long will you go on rejecting? Thirdly, the simplicity of this call. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Here's your side. It's so simple. Turn. Or as Jesus says in John 7 and 37, come unto me. You're going away from me. You were born going away from me, going towards sin, deeper and deeper, going towards hell, farther and farther. So turn away from your sin. Like Pilgrim in the city of destruction, he had to turn his back on the old ways and flee towards the light. Turn away. Turning away from something means turning to something else. Again, the simplicity of the call. Turn from your sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ, the one who says in John 7, come unto me, he that believeth in me. Oh, that tonight you would trust in him. Not a passing, frivolous commitment, but trust in him with all of your heart. That's your side. Let's look at God's side. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. In the words of John 7, you'll receive the Holy Ghost, and all the blessings of salvation will flow like rivers of living water. God says, I'll reveal myself unto you. I'll make myself known unto you. You see, the greatest blessing of salvation is not just being saved from sin. It's not just being saved from hell. It's not just having eternal life. It's not just having a mansion in heaven. It's knowing God. Not just a name, not just G-O-D, but knowing the one true and living God of the Bible. Personally, intimately, more and more each day. A real, vital, living relationship with the God of eternity. a believer tonight. Wow! Isn't that something special? To know God? To know the true and living God? Oh, surely it's the very essence of eternal life. To know Him. To make Him known. And to know Him for all eternity. And in knowing Him, to worship Him. To love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Oh, surely tonight that's true wisdom. To know God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The simplicity of the call. Turn, come unto Jesus. Trust, believe in me, and you can know me. You can know the living God. Fourthly, the seriousness of the call. If, as in verses 24 and 25, you've rejected Christ's call, you've ignored the outstretched hand of the Savior, you've made little of His exhortation to come, you've refused to accept His rebuke, well then what will it be for you? God's word tells us it will be calamity, fear, desolation, destruction, distress, anguish. Oh, you would, as in verse 30, have none of His counsel. You despised all of His reproof. If you do this and you go on doing this, you'll get, as in verse 31, the fruit of your own way and be filled with your own devices. Soon judgment will come and you'll get exactly what you wanted. You wanted life without God. You'll get life without God. You'll get eternity without God. Eternal separation, eternal punishment, calamity, fear, desolation, hell, where God has forgotten to be merciful, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You see, there was a day when humanity stood and mocked the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But one day, He will justly exult in bringing down those who have opposed and rejected Him. No, it's not a spiteful vindication of God. It's a righteous vindication of the One who is truly holy. Oh, tonight will you not recognize the seriousness of the call? If you don't answer this call, if you don't respond to the call of wisdom, to the call of the gospel, to leave your sin and to trust in Christ, in verse 28 applies to you. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The line between God's wrath and God's mercy will have been crossed, and then it will be too late. Oh, the seriousness of rejecting the call of the gospel. Finally, verse 32 and 33, we have a summary of the call. It's quite straightforward. It's quite fair. In fact, it's totally fair. And it's totally just. Destruction for those who reject the call, either by turning away or else by prosperity or complacency. They've rejected the call. If you get an invite for a birthday party, you can reject it openly by sending a reply back to say, "I'm not coming. I'm not interested." Or you can reject it by just being complacent, just throwing the invitation in the corner, always meaning to get round to answering it. One day you'll write the reply. You'd really like to go to the party, but you just never get round to answering it. And one day the birthday comes, and whether you've openly rejected it or you've just been complacent, it's still too late. You'll not be there. Destruction for those who reject. What about those who respond? Dwelling safely. Those who turn from their sin. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You won't be given the punishment that you deserve. What awesome mercy. And what blessings and favor and love and joy you'll receive that you don't deserve. What amazing grace. The call of wisdom. It cries out to you this evening. Turn, and I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You can know God. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Come to Jesus. Come to the one who can satisfy. Come to the one who is wisdom. The one who can make you wise unto salvation. Be wise. Listen to the call. And tonight, come to Jesus. Amen.